Thank you for clicking play and for downloading this podcast and for keeping us on the internet. This is the Smart Gilas Pilipinas podcast, recording from the Mellow 94.7 studios in Mandaluyong City. For you newcomers to the SGP podcast, my name is Stan.
And my name is Ro.
And we are so happy to bring you this week's episode in wrestling. Of course, we like to talk about wrestling for the educated Filipino fan, but you can't be educated if you don't read.
Right, that's right. You can't be educated if you don't read. And, well, you don't really see it in them sometimes when you watch them work, when you watch them talk, when you watch them on your TV screens. But a lot of wrestlers are actually very educated people.
And a lot of these wrestlers can actually pre-write. They can write and hold their own when it comes to writing a book. A good example, of course, is Mick Foley. Another example is my favorite wrestling author, Y2J.
And my favorite wrestling author, Edge.
Yes.
He is actually a very talented writer. If you haven't read his autobiography, he displays a really rare writing talent. He's candid. He's really funny. He's very good with the pen.
You know what? I remember actually reading On Edge for one of my research papers back in third year high school, which reminds me about all these books that I've come to enjoy reading and looking for whenever I visit my favorite bookstores. I remember there was a Fully Booked sale over the weekend. You and I actually met up at Fully Booked.
We met up at Fully Booked over the weekend by chance, actually.
By chance. And my primary goal at Fully Booked over the weekend was to look for the copy of WWE Magazine with
a replica for kids.
With a Money in the Bank briefcase replica.
No, it wasn't a replica. It was a lunchbox.
It was a lunchbox.
It was a lunchbox designed as the money in the raw Money in the Bank briefcase.
Sad to say, they didn't have a copy of it here. They didn't have the briefcase either. Boo.
And I looked at other branches Fully Booked, and I didn't get to find it either. Too bad.
And it was kind of sad, though, that at Fully Booked, at least over the weekend when we went out to check for books, there weren't any books that were pretty hard to find, at least this weekend.
But you failed in finding a good wrestling book, but I did not. I went to another bookstore that night. Later after we met, I was at Bukay Ukay along Maginhawa. For those northerners who live near UP, there is this secondhand bookstore that sells books on the cheap. And I found the biography, the official WWE biography of Andre the Giant. And this is actually why we're having this conversation right now.
Exactly, because it's not every day that you get to find an Andre the Giant biography or a WWE book at a secondhand bookstore.
I didn't even know that there was an official WWE book on Andre.
So let me ask you, how much did this cost?
It cost me a whopping 120 pesos.
Damn!
See, I won. I won that night.
That was a sweet bargain, my friend.
Yeah, and I keep finding... For those listeners, if you want to have a chance of finding uncommon wrestling books, you would do well to go through the secondhand bookstores. Really, seriously, I've found a few good wrestling books going through book sale.
You know what? One of these days, you and I, we have to compile our collection of wrestling books, because I'd like to think you and I have a pretty decent library.
Yeah, I think I have a decent library. I'm still looking for more and more books.
So am I. I'm also on the lookout for gems. When I went to Dubai some 3 months ago, I actually took home some wrestling books that I haven't even seen here. They were actually published by the ECW Press.
Right. Is this the rise and fall of the ECW?
No, it's not. It's actually a pro wrestling book on the best baby faces and how to create heat.
Right. And you mentioned ECW Press. I have this one regret, this one book I regret not being able to buy, because I had to buy Dusty Rhodes' biography, autobiography.
Right.
And, well, while I don't regret buying that book, I regret, you know, not finding this book. It was The Rise and Fall of ECW.
You know what? I think I do remember seeing this. I'm not mistaken, Fully Booked used to actually carry this title.
I saw this book in book sale. Right, so yeah, I regret not buying that. I also found in another book sale the autobiography of China.
Jeez.
And we say a lot of bad things about China, especially after her second career.
Oh, yes.
Well, let's not get into that.
Let's not get to One Night in China.
and the Avengers XXX parody. Don't ask me how I know this. Don't ask me how I know that.
Yo. Rule 34. Rule 34.
Just don't ask me how I know this. Anyway, no, but I saw China's book, and I don't know if she wrote it or if she had a ghostwriter or write it for her.
Yeah.
But she also displayed the same candidness and a talent for humor as Edge did.
You know what? One of these days, I swear to God, you and I, we're going to put our books together. We're going to have one awesome kick-ass wrestling library.
Right. And, well, we can't have a reading party because that's not really that fun or exciting.
It's not very cool.
If anyone wants to, if anyone wants to borrow, any of my wrestling books, I also remember, the National Bookstore Warehouse Sale from 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I found the old Bret Hart book, the big-ass pink book.
Hitman.
Yeah, Hitman.
I have a PDF of that book. Don't ask me how I got that.
You got that from me.
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
No, I didn't.
Before I got the book, I had a PDF of the book.
Interesting.
And then I found it, and I got it for 50 pesos.
Jesus Christ.
50 pesos at the National Bookstore Warehouse.
Wow, a cool 50 pesos for the Hitman book. Man, if you want to borrow any of our wrestling books and talk wrestling with us, of course, you know where to find us on Twitter. We are on Twitter. We tweet about wrestling a lot. It's at Stan947.
At Rosewar. I'm the guy at the black mask.
And I'm the guy with a microphone in front of his face. We failed to mention this, actually, on last week's podcast, but it was a significant event in pro wrestling. Santino Marella finally calling it quits after a 7-year run in the WWE.
But with the fanfare or lack thereof surrounding it, you would think that how significant was this, really?
It was kind of disappointing since Vicky Guerrero got a send-off. Everybody knew that she was going to go. Nobody knew that Santino Marella suffered a third-degree neck injury.
Yeah, and he announced his retirement on a house show.
That's right.
And we haven't heard from him since.
We haven't heard from him since. And he also kind of broke kayfabe at that house show because it was in his hometown of Toronto, Ontario.
Right. I wish we should have gotten more because Santino is a really underrated talent. Maybe he's not the best in the world in the ring, but I would have wanted to see more of him in the ring. And he made his kind of limited gimmick, the comedic Santino Marella gimmick. He made it work in the ring and not just in the mic.
And for what it's worth, Santino Marella, he had a pretty impressive singles career. In 7 years, the only championships he hasn't won are the WWE and the World Heavyweight Championships.
And he was damn close 2 years ago.
That's right, at the Elimination Chamber in 2012 when he was beaten by Daniel Bryan.
Right, and that was my contribution for Must Watch Mondays last week because that's when we all found out Santino was retired. And if you haven't seen the SmackDown Elimination Chamber from 2012... you have to go see it because that was a star-making performance.
It was a great match. Santino Marella had a semi-star-making moment as well the year before in the 40-man Royal Rumble when he was a runner-up to Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah, I remember that. He almost won it.
He almost won that as well.
Yeah, he almost won that as well. But, nothing came close to the Elimination Chamber match.
Because, man.
Yeah, because if they just put in some effort and taken it from there, I think he could have... he could have been a bigger star from there.
If there's one regret, I think, that we at Smart Guidas Pilipinas have when it comes to Santino Marella's career, it's that he wasn't able to explore that as a legit MMA tough guy. Because in real life, he's actually one of those tough guys you probably wouldn't want to mess with. If you remember some episodes back, we talked about this supposed spectrum of, should I pick a fight with this wrestler or not?
Right, and Santino is an actual judoka.
He is.
He knows his judo. He's actually, he's a shooter.
Right.
Yeah.
So if Anthony Carelli had the chance to be Boris Alexeyev in the WWE, who knows how his career would have turned out?
He would have been better than Rusev and Vladimir Kozlov combined.
That would have been badass. But Santino Marella, thank you for all those years of entertaining us, of making us laugh. I will always enjoy that tea party segment with Sheamus and Kozlov.
Yeah, I remember that segment. And it might not have always been a great thing, the comedic thing. But yeah, thank you very much for entertaining us.
And with that, let's get to our first weekly segment of this week. We like to call this our list of things we like and don't like about wrestling. Let's call this
Spots and Botches.
Let's get to our first botch where, we've been excited about the Bray Wyatt and Chris Jericho match at Battleground, mostly because of the promo work that was going to happen. But this week, we like to think that they could have done so much more with their segment.
Right. And, we almost jizzed our pants at the thought of, Bray Wyatt and Chris Jericho facing each other, not just in the ring, but on the mic. And, sparks would have flown.
Yeah.
But this week, I didn't feel it.
Hell, this week, the crowd actually went so far as to chant, boring, boring.
Yeah, at Bray, of all people.
Of all people. And that's probably the first time that any crowd has chanted boring at Bray Wyatt.
Now, here's the thing. The moment Bray started talking, and the more I listened to him, because you have to listen to Bray Wyatt in order to get him, Because, you know, a lot of people I find complain about Bray because they don't know what he's talking about. But
he's cryptic. That's who he is.
No, but a lot of these times, they just don't listen to him. You know what I'm saying? But this time, when he said that, you know, when he was asking Chris Jericho where he was, you know, when he wanted us to save him, you know, when we wanted him to save us.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like it was a light version of Cena and Rock.
Okay, how do you compare the Bray and Jericho storyline to Cena Rock from last year?
Because, you know, Cena has always been on Rock's case about not being there for his people.
Right.
And I kind of heard the similarities in this particular feud.
Except this time, there's actually a hardcore face and a hardcore heel.
And yeah, and on top of that, parang, okay, Bray is asking Jericho where he was.
Yeah.
But I don't know why Bray is doing that.
Like, parang, what ascendancy does Bray Wyatt have? Ganun.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe he wants to be... He wants to usurp Chris Jericho's place as the savior of the masses.
As the Messiah, yeah.
Yeah, but that's something I came up with on my own.
You know what? I actually don't have a problem with Bray Wyatt asking Chris Jericho where he's been. Because as a bad guy, you can use that to taunt the good guy, right? You can use that to taunt the people who are supposedly rooting for the good guy and probably question their belief in the good guy.
No. Sure. But... we didn't get any of that this week. Nothing was advanced.
Okay.
But we were on the same place as we were last week.
And that's never a good thing because when you're trying to tell a story, especially with a weekly episodic show, your primary goal with every episode and every segment is to make your story go forward each week.
Yeah, and I would think, I thought that Chris Jericho, of all people, would understand this.
Right.
But no, we were just getting the same old stuff. Jericho's yelling his catchphrases, Bray's being cryptic. And the onus on advancing the story is on Bray.
Because he's the cryptic one.
Right, exactly. Because it's up to him to, you know, explain more and more what he's about. Because sometimes, even though we have our guesswork, even though we try and make our effort to understand him, we're just not gonna get what he means unless he just comes right out and say it.
You know what? If there's one last thing that we at SGP want to rant about with regard to the Bray Wyatt Chris Jericho storyline and their promo so far, it's the fact that they totally ditched continuity. We were talking about this sometime last week or 2 weeks ago about how we know Chris Jericho is a stickler for continuity,
right.
How they advocated for this during the CM Punk run in 2012.
Exactly.
And we were expecting them to actually bring up the NXT match where Chris Jericho and Bray Wyatt faced off against each other at NXT.
Right. And the moment I heard someone, I think it was Renee Young or Chris Jericho, who said that, it was on SmackDown. He said that...
It was Chris.
Yeah, it was Chris. He said that it was the first time in WWE history that he and Bray Wyatt would face off.
Yeah.
I immediately tweeted, damn you, Chris. Damn it, Chris. It's not the first time. You faced each other on NXT.
And I kind of tweeted the same thing, even though I didn't see that tweet.
Yeah, sure.
I was watching SmackDown over the weekend. I think it was Sunday. And then I pretty much said the same thing. Damn it, Chris. Why?
And somebody tweeted me, one of our friends at SGP.
Yeah.
He said that, but it's not the same universe. Well, fuck that. They reference Paige being on NXT.
Yeah, they do.
So why can't I reference this?
Oh, nga. It's supposed to be consistent, right? I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a Divas or if it's the men or the guys on the main roster. It's still the same universe.
Anyway, that's a minor nitpicking. So the bigger issue talaga is that nothing was advanced this week, and I hope that they try to save it on SmackDown. But I don't have high hopes for that.
Funny that you should mention storylines being advanced, because our next spot is actually about storylines being advanced. There's a big battle royal happening at Battleground for the vacated Intercontinental Championship. It's between 20 superstars, and much to our delight, a lot of the feuds are independent of one another, and yet they're also converging come Sunday at the Battleground pay-per-view.
Yeah, and that's really subtle storytelling.
And that's very, very good.
At first, you don't realize right away that these guys are in the battle royal.
Right.
And then somebody, one of the announcers mentions it to hype it, you know, and then the graphic comes on. Oh my God, these guys are feuding with each other.
And
but
let's give
they're
you
all in the same match. So we're going to see a lot of storylines come Battleground.
And not just a lot of storylines, but a lot of storylines interlapping with one another.
Exactly, exactly. So, wow, we've never had this kind of complex storytelling in quite a long time. It's not the most complex, but it's more complex than, you know, the shit we've been getting lately.
So, to give you a quick rundown of some of these storylines we're talking about, there's the feud between Sheamus and The Miz.
Right, and Del Rio as well.
And Alberto Del Rio, who's also feuding with Rob Van Dam, by the way.
Right.
And then you have Dolph Ziggler and Fandango going at it.
Yeah, because of the Summer Rae and Layla thing.
That's right. And a bunch of other feuds. Before,
and then you got Big E and Kofi and Cesaro.
Thank you very much. Yes, Big E, Kofi, and Cesaro. And Cesaro was also fucking with Sheamus like some weeks ago.
Right. And prior to them being removed, you got Adam Rose and Damon Sandow.
That's right. I was actually about to get into that. But Adam Rose and Damon Sandow have been pulled from the Battle Royal, which brings the total number of superstars. What is wrong with me? Which brings the number of superstars
down to 18. 20. No, 20. Yes. Oh, it was 22 before.
It was 22 before Adam Rose and Damon Sandow were pulled out.
Okay. That's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people. And I'm very excited for Battle Royals. I love Battle Royals. So I hope that we get a good one come Sunday at the Battleground pay-per-view. That's a spot for this week.
But the botch coming out of this match is BNB, Bad News Barrett, is going to be presenting the Intercontinental Championship, which he vacated to the winner of this Battle Royal.
Right. I don't get it. I don't understand why BNB has to be there. What for? We know what he's going to do. He's probably going to say something like, I'm afraid I've got some bad news. And he's probably going to hit the bull hammer on somebody. But what for when the guy is injured and he can't really have a payoff come next pay-per-view SummerSlam?
No, I think this is a botch because we're picturing that he's going to hand it over nicely.
Okay.
But obviously, that's not what's going to happen.
That's not what is going to happen, indeed.
No, no, no. So I guess that there's a disconnect somewhere. BNB does not seem like the kind of guy who would, you know, just graciously give over the title to the winner.
And yet, the belief, at least here in SGP, is that when he comes back, he actually does come back as a triumphant hero.
Hopefully he does, because he's been gaining some momentum right before he was injured.
And I'd like to think he'll get some sympathy because of what he's been through.
Sana. I sympathize with the guy because I want him to succeed.
So do I. I've been a Wade Barrett fan since the Nexus days. So for him to actually be at his best right now, character-wise, nakakainis to see him going down with an injury right now.
Yeah, let's just hope that they don't give up on him too quickly.
That's right. Now, we also mentioned Big E and Kofi Kingston as among the participants in the Battle Royal at Battleground. Another spot on our list is the fact that they are actually a tag team now.
Well, it's not official yet, but I know it's getting there. And it happened this week on Main Event that they tagged together, and they actually won against Ryback and Curtis Axel. So I don't know if that counts for something, but I know it's getting there, and I like it. I like the idea of Big E and Kofi teaming together. It's like the Black Heart Foundation.
Are they going to be like the Nation of Domination 2.0?
Hopefully not. If we talk about them as being Nation of Domination 2.0, we're going to talk about them being, you know, black militant activists.
Which they're not,
and which they don't have to be.
Uh-huh.
I just want them to get together,
yeah,
and be another good contender for the tag team championships.
I guess my only issue here is the fact now, wala masyadong explanation as to why they're together other than they're black and they're good guys.
Right, yeah, that's the fear that they're friends because they're two black people.
Right, kind of like how Kofi and Truth were a tag team some years ago.
Yeah, exactly, but I'm sure Big E and Kofi would be a much better team than Kofi and Truth.
Of course, because you have the complementary stylings of Big E, who's a big dude, and Kofi, who flies around.
And Big E isn't, a slow big dude.
He's not a stiff.
Yeah, he's a really fast big dude, actually.
You know what?
I would like to see their styles play together.
You can actually call Big E another army tank with a Ferrari engine.
I wonder who else was an army tank with a Ferrari engine.
But yeah, that is one of our spots this week. We're hoping that Big E and Kofi can insert themselves into the tag team scene moving forward. But that also probably means that neither of them is winning the Intercontinental Championship.
That's fine. I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that as long as they bolster the tag team division.
I want to see someone else win the title anyway, so I'm okay with this.
And we're going to get to that later on when we do our Battleground predictions. Let's get to another spot on the list, which is the announcement for Sting to be included as a playable character in WWE 2K15. I like this as a gamer.
Yeah, it's about damn time they did. Because I'm sure a lot of people want to see Sting not just on TV.
Right.
But I'm sure we're not getting that anytime soon. But I mean, I'm sure they wanted to play as him on the video game.
You know what? A lot of these legends, the last time that they were actually playable in a video game was WWE All-Stars, which was a cartoony version of your SmackDown versus Raw.
I enjoyed All-Stars.
I didn't particularly like All-Stars because it was too NBA Jam. It was too arcadey.
No, I took it for what it is.
Okay, that's fair.
I took it for what it is.
That's fair because I like my video games more realistic and more detailed, more fine, more nuanced.
Oh, yeah, sure. But,
I'm referencing how Warrior was actually part of All-Stars.
Right.
He was on All-Stars, and we didn't get him in the video games until WWE 2K14.
Yeah.
And it's nice. It's refreshing now that 2K15 is coming out sometime later this year, and Sting is actually in the video game.
Yeah, in October this year, actually. And, about damn time, you don't have to resort to Creator Wrestler anymore to play as Sting.
I know. I mean, how many times have we had to download those creator wrestlers from other gamers all around the world just so we could play our favorite legends or our favorite wrestlers? So finally, congratulations, WWE 2K. You've just gained more fans just because of the fact that Sting is in the game. That's a spot for this.
Right, and I hope that, this leads to something more on TV.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I hope they don't call him Borden Stevens. All right, another botch on this list. We haven't had a botch in about... Yeah, two items. So let's get to a botch this time. Paul Heyman was noticeably absent from Cesaro's side at Raw this week.
Yeah, and that was so weird because at first I didn't make much of it. And then they kept saying on commentary that they heard that Cesaro was fired. They heard that Heyman was fired.
Or that Heyman quit.
Yeah, something like that. And I'm like, what is this? Why is this happening? Why are these rumors coming up?
Does this mean that Paul Heyman and Cesaro had a falling out off screen? If they were going to have a falling out, they should have at least done that on screen.
Well, the fact that they didn't have a falling out on screen makes me think that they're not broken up or anything.
I hope they're not broken up because right now rumors are that Heyman has dumped Cesaro so that he could he could represent Brock Lesnar full time.
And why would he have to dump Cesaro to focus on Brock? Because back in WrestleMania he focused on Brock and Punk at the same time.
That's right. He did focus on Brock Lesnar and CM Punk in 2013. He's done that. He's appeared in two separate matches, and the Brock Lesnar storyline and the CM Punk storyline were completely independent of each other. So that means it could be done. One manager could insert himself in two separate independent storylines without really having to compromise his allegiances to both of his clients.
Yeah, so this is really, really weird to me.
I know.
Yeah.
I hope that they explain that come SmackDown or at Battleground.
Yeah, sign of that.
And I also hope that Cesaro is still a Paul Heyman guy at the end of this.
Yeah, because he's already been losing, three times in a row lately, and I can't have Heyman leaving him because that means it's a step backwards for Cesaro.
He's losing momentum. Like, he's not where he was after having won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal at WrestleMania 30.
And while we've had we've seen these things in guys like CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, I just don't want to go through another emotional stage in my fandom again.
Jeez. Which is weird, because we were all thinking that Cesaro could have been the guy, because he's the one with the more conventional WWE-approved look.
Right, exactly. And he's a big guy, he's muscular, ripped.
And he's got appeal for the international audiences. He's the one who's always doing those international plugs. Hell, he was in, I think he was in Spain this week promoting the WWE.
Right. Again, it's too early to tell. But hopefully it doesn't, signal bad things for Cesaro.
Suffice it to say, we've put this on notice and it's on our spots and botches list for this week on the SGP podcast. Here's a potential spot from last week. Summer Rae and Layla, their feud apparently is over and now they're BFFs.
Well, you kind of expect it after, we've seen Fandango look at both girls as though he wants them both and, thinks he can have them both.
It was kind of refreshing to see that they didn't just have a payoff match at a pay-per-view and then just end the feud altogether. It, in a way, the storyline is still ongoing, except now it's Summer and Layla versus Fandango. It's very refreshing to see two opponents, two enemies, just come together and say, you know what, let's be friends.
You mean frenemies?
Nick, because frenemies, that's AJ and Paige right now.
That should be a tag team, the frenemies.
The frenemies, kind of like Team Hell No. Remember right. When they started out?
Right. And you know what? I think we should have more, a tag team division for the Divas.
Why not?
Yeah, because we got the frenemies.
Black Lay Cool. Which is Cameron and Alicia Fox.
And they fit, Cameron and Alicia Fox, they fit. So, and then you got the besties.
Summer Rae and Layla. Yeah, the BFFs from NXT, by the way.
The BFFs are Summer Rae and Charlotte.
Oh, shit.
And Sasha Banks.
Ah, thank you.
Well, you got Charlotte and Sasha Banks. So.
Right. You also have the Bella Twins, of course.
Yeah, the Bella Twins.
You can't forget the
so,
Bella Twins.
So I think we can have a Divas Tag Team Championship now.
Oh, nah, why not? I think that's something that they can actually work on because right now you have a decent division of four teams, which is at one point way more than the men's division had.
Yeah, and then you got the Total Divas girls. So there's another team. And we think that Summer Rae and Layla teaming up is a potential spot because I prefer this over seeing Summer Rae and Layla feud even more.
Right, right.
Going into SummerSlam.
So, you know, kudos to whoever thought about advancing this storyline in this manner. I'd like to think it was actually a good decision on your part. So that's
good job,
a spot.
Good job. So going on to the next botch, we got, woo, woo.
How could Ric Flair potentially be a botch? How could he be a bad thing?
I'll tell you what. He'll be a bad thing when you go waste him like that on Raw.
Besides, woo! I have to say Ric Flair una on ASAP. I was actually thinking you're going all Chico on me.
Woo. Seriously, that was bad.
That was very bad.
It was better than his appearance, promoting the Shield.
Oh, yeah.
Right before Extreme Rules, I think.
You have to admit that it was kind of entertaining to see Renee Young and Ric Flair interact in the ring. I was kind of creeped out for Renee because I love Renee.
Yeah. And, you know, I was creeped out as well. Oh, so wait, I'm gonna walk around you.
It was kind of weird. I let them... You know, he was on something.
Yeah, no, he's always on something. If he's not drunk, he's just old. But, you know.
The point is, he didn't add value where value was necessary.
Right. And I don't know why they brought him back, actually.
Yeah, because at least.
For this show.
Right, right.
I don't know why. If other than to get the World Heavyweight Championship title belt from Cena.
Which we don't understand either at this point, because if there was any time to lose the big gold belt, it would probably have been at the ladder match at Money in the Bank.
Right, exactly. And, well, you know, the WWE makes weird decisions at weird times, so there's
which we don't
that.
Always understand.
Yeah, so I don't know why Ric Flair was here. I would have preferred it if he was there to introduce his daughter Charlotte.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know why this happened, so whatever.
I don't understand it. It just didn't make sense altogether. I wish that if they were going to bring back Ric Flair, he would have added value, kind of like when they brought Bret Hart back. It didn't add value either. I mean, fine,
fuck
you
Fred.
Know.
Fuck
Oy, sobra ka naman.
I can say it now. It's valid slander now.
I mean, you know, I like the nostalgia factor, but please, let's bring them back when they actually have something meaningful to do.
Yeah, so
I just gave
them an idea. Bring him back. Bring Ric Flair back when it's time to introduce Charlotte to the main roster.
You're welcome.
Now, hire me, WWE. Hashtag hire me. Speaking of Black Lay Cool, they happened after I suggested it on Twitter. Like the week after I suggested Black Lay Cool on Twitter, they got teamed together. So hashtag hire me, WWE.
We're going to do this after we record this podcast. We're going to look through your Twitter followers. We're going to see if there's anybody there who's actually remotely connected to creative.
No. I'm sure there isn't.
Of course there isn't.
Yeah. Fuck you. Fuck you.
Anyway. Isn't it the followers, mo?
560-something.
2,024, bitch.
You're on radio. Of course you have 2,000 followers. Asshole.
Kunti pa nga lang yun eh. 2,000,
yeah, yeah, no,
it's a paltry number.
You're not... You know,
who am I? Who the fuck am I? I don't know who the fuck I am.
You're just some dude who appeared on Mix. So fuck
you. Fuck you. All right, speaking of people with anything meaningful to do... They've been struggling to find something meaningful for Adam Rose to do over the last few weeks.
Right.
And this week, among the last 2 or 3 weeks, they've resorted to putting him in product placement spots, which is actually the last botch on our list.
Right. Is it time? No, wait, it's not time yet.
Because it's not time yet.
Because we have to do one more spot on the list.
Right.
The unification.
That's right. We are going to talk about the championship unification, and we're talking about the U.S. and the Intercontinental Championship unification.
Right. They've been mentioning it lately on WWE programming ever since last week's main event when Alberto Del Rio faced Sheamus in a last man standing match for the U.S. title. And since you keep mentioning it, it's all but a certainty that it's going to happen.
At some point. If not at the next pay-per-view, then it's probably going to happen. because of the mere fact that Sheamus is in the battle
royal. Here's my ideal. Here's my ideal scenario for the unification. Someone else wins the Intercontinental Championship at Battleground.
Okay.
Someone else wins it. Maybe, maybe Alberto Del Rio. Maybe The Miz.
Yeah.
So one of those guys.
Okay.
And then, but the last man the winner eliminates would be Sheamus.
Right. Which would just write itself.
Right. It would write itself. Sheamus and the winner would feud for SummerSlam. Obviously, since both championships are in the match, it's going to lend itself. It's going to write itself. Unification, that's what's going to happen.
Right, and it's going to make SummerSlam an even bigger deal than it has been over the last
that's
few years.
Why, that's why I want it to happen at SummerSlam, because it's the big show, the summer.
Right, right. And remember when the Intercontinental Championship actually main evented SummerSlam?
Right, right, right.
That actually happened.
And the last guy to unify the Intercontinental Championship and another championship was Edge.
Right, right.
Back in 2002, I think.
Yeah, 0102.
0102. Somewhere along those lines when, after the WCW invasion.
Right, right. And that's why the championship unification is a spot. We need this right now. Probably because we still don't have the brand split. We've been advocating for the brand split. If you're going to have two separate mid-card belts, if you're going to have two world championship belts, you might as well have a brand split. But you don't have that right now. With the current roster, with the current setup. So at least if you unify the titles, it kind of streamlines things and, you know, doesn't leave one mid-card championship feeling less than the other.
And it opens up the Tag Team Divas division.
Yes!
Right, so there you go. Anyway, going to the next, the last botch, the product placement. I have comments on this. I actually noticed that it's been happening more often lately. Even the match of screens are sponsored by Takis, whatever Takis is.
I have no idea what Takis is, by the way.
Right, so
you can't blame us. We're Filipino.
Right, so I've been noticing, and it's not a hard thing to come to conclude that they've been doing this because of their financial situation at the moment.
Right, right. And it's understandable, fine, but it doesn't have to be so tacky as to the way that they've been doing it right now with Adam Rose and with our guy Damian Sandow.
Right, right, right. And I prefer the one that you just stick a brand name on the matchup screen, something like that.
Right,
right. Like the Sprite All-Stars game, something like that.
I hated that Subway guy, segment from several years ago, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. But there's a tasteful way, there's a less intrusive way to do product placement.
Yeah.
And there is just what happened this week. And with that, we'd like to go into our next segment.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, if I may have your attention, please. In a world full of unwashed masses, there is only one man who can be our savior. Unfortunately, he is too busy being other people. Ladies and gentlemen, this is
Silence!
The Damian Sandow Weekly Update! This week, he is the worst thing ever.
A Sonic Delivery Guy.
God, that is the worst. It's not even an impersonation, Diva.
He's not.
He's not impersonating anything.
He's basically being himself in a Sonic costume.
He's just cosplaying a Sonic waiter or whatever.
And the worst part is he doesn't even get to eat the product.
Yeah. God.
Kalawa. I mean, like, I get it. You've been saying it week in, week out. The guy has to do what the guy has to do to keep himself on screen.
No. You know, I understand. I've been saying that for the past couple of weeks.
Right.
But I cannot defend this one. I cannot. No, I'm going to be honest with you. I can't defend this one.
I just couldn't believe it. Like, when I saw it, I was like, really? We've gone this low?
Yeah. But, okay, you could have gotten someone else to do that. But since Santino retired...
That's right.
We've had to go for Damian Sandow doing this.
And who knows? Who knows what Damian Sandow will be wearing this Sunday when he probably faces Adam Rose in a one-on-one match at Battleground?
Oh, God. God!
Sayang, I mean, they had a feud. It was nice having that separate offshoot feud leading into the Battle Royal because they were supposed to be a part of it. And then these two get pulled out, and the jury isn't even completely sold yet on Adam Rose at this point.
While he did what he had to do this week, that doesn't mean that we had to like what he had to do.
We don't like it. This is one of the worst Damian Sandow segments since he debuted.
Ever!
No, never! Ever again!
Never again. Sorry, Damian Sandow.
We love you, but we don't want you doing this. Stop doing this to yourself.
Yeah, this is. I think this is the straw that breaks the camel's back. Because, you know, the impersonations every week, okay, they're one thing, but, you know, doing this to shill a product,
yeah.
even though the WWE is kind of broke right now,
yeah,
not a good thing. Not a good thing at all.
It's not a good thing at all. Damian Sandow, please find something to do.
You're welcome.
Let's get to our main topics for this week because we do have some meat and some very interesting discussions on top of the Battleground predictions. You want to do predictions first or you want to get into our main topic for this evening?
What do you think? I think we should get the predictions out of the way because we talked about Battleground last week, so I'm sure if we talk about this now, we're just going to run through it real quick.
Sure. Let's breeze through it. Battleground predictions. Let's start with the main event, Fatal 4-Way, Cena, Reigns, Kane, Orton. I think we have a unanimous pick on this one.
Cena, for sure. Cena, 1, 2, 3.
Cena. This has to happen for SummerSlam. We know that Cena is the transitional champ. Let's get to our next match. 2 out of 3 falls. Usos and the Wyatts.
Wyatt's another guy. If it didn't happen at Money in the Bank, it has to happen now. Wyatt's not.
This is going to be our second straight unanimous pick. I'm going the Wyatts as well.
It has to happen. Something needs to change in the tag division now. I don't care if it has to happen so that Goldust and Stardust can come in or, you know, Big E and Kofi, whoever. I just want something different to happen now. And if it didn't happen last month, as I said, last pay-per-view, it's going to happen now.
Besides, right now we have more good guy tag teams than bad guy tag teams. So to have a bad guy tag team champion would mean that more guys are potentially trying to compete for the straps.
They're going to make for better stories, better chases.
Plus, the Wyatt family, they are pretty much the hottest thing right now. The hottest stable right now in the WWE. So you might as well give them the championships while the iron is hot. Divas Championship, AJ and Paige.
I'm going for AJ for this one.
Really?
Yep. As we all saw, Paige wasn't ready for the face character.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily her fault.
It's not.
Yeah, it's not. But I want to see Paige turn first. And I think this is only going to happen at the end of the match. We already know that she has the heel tendencies, or we can see right through the act.
Yeah.
But she's not overtly a heel yet.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's going to happen at Battleground.
You know what? This storyline actually kind of reminds me of the 2005 Batista-Eddie Guerrero storyline heading into No Mercy.
Right.
Remember that?
Eddie turned face.
But Eddie turned face. Except this time, Paige is going to turn full-on heel. And I'm excited for that, too. And I'm actually predicting AJ as well, just because I think it'll advance the storyline.
Yeah,
If Paige wins now, wala na siyang incentive to lie, cheat, and steal, so to speak.
Right, exactly. And when Paige turns heel at Battleground, it's going to make for a better match at SummerSlam.
Here's the thing, though. Right now, AJ isn't as convincing a good girl as I'd like her to be. Like, if we're trying to establish some hardline allegiances between good guys and bad guys, AJ isn't doing a good job of being the good girl herself.
Well, that's true. But do you expect her to turn heel in this case?
I don't think so.
Exactly. So
she'll be the sympathetic figure, if ever.
Yeah. No, she needs Paige to turn heel so that she can make herself look like a better good girl.
Right. Okay. I'll take that. Another Divas match coming up for Battleground
this
weekend.
Yeah, this is a kickoff match.
This is the kickoff match. Thank you. It's Cameron versus Naomi. We've been waiting for this to happen just so they could get it out of the way. You think Alicia Fox will come in and, you know, Black Lake will be cemented right in front of our eyes?
That's a nice idea. I never thought of that.
Finally,
God. Took you like how many episodes? Anyway.
it
does seem like a nice idea, but I don't think that Naomi's going to give up a win here.
I think Naomi wins this if Alicia Fox doesn't come out. Foxy comes out,
no.
Cameron wins.
No, I think Naomi wins, and then Alicia Fox comes out.
Okay. I'm betting that if ever Alicia comes out, it'll be during the match to help Cameron out.
Yeah, well, probably.
So that's my prediction.
But I don't want to see a prolonged feud between these two. So Naomi can win, and Alicia Fox can come out, if ever.
If ever, I think, they probably won't continue the feud necessarily. But, you know, having Black Lake who come out kind of pretty much tells the entire Divas division to watch out because these two girls are coming to get you.
All right, right. Anyway, moving on to Bray versus Y2J. I told you last week I want Y2J to win this first.
I still think Bray Wyatt is going to win this first.
Really?
That's me. I mean, I get the whole fact that you have to advance the story first and give Bray like an edge or a chip on his shoulder to keep going after Y2J. But something in me tells me that Bray Wyatt kind of needs the momentum more because Chris Jericho has more momentum than him at this point.
Okay, fair enough. But I want Bray, like I said, to win the SummerSlam match. So I, So you need to trade wins here. So that's why I'm picking YDJ to win.
Right, and that's keeping in mind the fact that it's not going to last until September.
It's not going to be a really clean win to rob him of his momentum.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying that Y2J gets the nominal win.
All right, I think this is our first legit split decision.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, Intercontinental Championship Battle Royal. You have 20 guys to choose from, but really, you probably only have like a handful of legit candidates.
I think it's going to go to The Miz.
Okay.
He's bigger than Del Rio right now. I want Del Rio to win, but I think it's going to The Miz.
Just because Miz has more momentum, right?
Right.
And besides, I think Miz is Sheamus' primary opponent right now.
Yeah.
And if you've been reading the dirt sheets, you probably would have noticed that Sheamus and Miz are going to have a prolonged feud.
Right. And Miz was the only guy to beat Sheamus lately.
That's right.
Diba? So right. That tells me something. It tells me that they're elevating Miz to be on Sheamus's level.
And it could be a harbinger of future events.
Yeah, when they couldn't do that for Alberto Del Rio.
Right. So I think we're going to have a unanimous pick on The Miz as well on this one. How about this match? Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins. This has been coming for quite some time. I'm kind of upset that they didn't announce this on live TV and instead opted to just announce it on the website over the weekend.
It's not a big deal to me. Okay, yeah, they should have announced it on TV, but it's not a big deal because I know this is happening. It would be a bigger deal to me if it didn't happen. So it's just formalizing the match.
I mean, you're telling a story, and if you leave out one crucial piece of the story, even if it wasn't like sobrang obvious, it's still an insult to the intelligence of your audience.
I want to go that far because they've done a really good job of building themselves up. Building their animosity up from the time Seth turned on the Shield.
Yeah,
they've been doing such a good job. Ambrose is a good actor. He knows how to sell the intensity of his feelings towards Seth,
and he's a great talker.
Right, exactly. So I knew this was happening, and. If it were less of a build-up,
yeah.
If it wasn't built up as great as they've been doing it lately,
yeah.
That's when I would share your feelings toward it. But since I like the way it's been done, I don't have a problem with it.
Fine. Okay. Let's agree to disagree. Let's make our picks. I'm picking Seth Rollins to win this one.
It's a tough pick. I'm gonna be honest with you, but yeah, I think no. Wait, shit. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Because I think they're going to extend this until SummerSlam.
It could go either way.
SummerSlam is your biggest pay-per-view of the summer, of course. So I think if they know what's best for business, they're going to keep this feud going on while it's still hot and then have Dean Ambrose win at SummerSlam.
Okay, I think Dean wins by DQ.
Ooh.
Yeah. Because that's a good call. Dean has to win because Seth won Money in the Bank. By winning Money in the Bank. Get it?
Right.
Get it?
Yes.
So he has the upper hand right now.
Oh, man, I forgot about that. But I'm still thinking in their first one-on-one matchup, their first legit one-on-one matchup, I think I'm still giving it to Seth, though. So yeah. let's call it here.
Yeah, Dean wins by DQ, and he's not happy with that.
Right.
So he goes for SummerSlam, and when they go for SummerSlam, they go for something bigger.
I hope they feud over the briefcase.
Yeah, actually, me too. I hope they feud over the briefcase. The last time that happened was
Edge versus Kennedy. 2007.
Right. And well, it's a nice thing to feud over. But even though I think that Dean Ambrose doesn't need the briefcase, and his character wouldn't need the briefcase,
his character wouldn't give a shit about the briefcase.
Right. Well, I guess Seth Rollins could put it up as a pride thing.
Right.
And you know what? I actually have this idea for Seth. If I may go into it a bit. I have this idea for Seth, for his cash in.
Uh-huh.
I don't want him to cash it in traditional style.
Okay.
And because I got,
so you want him to announce it?
Yeah. I wanted to announce it. I got inspired from his segment backstage with Cena last week.
Okay.
About how he's the best. He wants to prove himself.
Right.
He said he's not going to cash in the contract until he can prove him to the world that he is the best.
Yeah.
And I want that to happen.
Okay.
Parang, I want him to cash in the contract by saying that I want to prove that I'm the best. So I'm going to announce it ahead of time. And I want a full match with you. So that when I win the championship, I will do it by being the best.
Here's my question for that theory, Mr. Smarty Pants.
It's not a theory. It's just fantasy booking.
Fine. Can Seth Rollins pull that off while maintaining his heel status, though? Because it now it seems like something so honorable.
No, it's not honorable. It's a cocky thing to say. But I know I can beat you. I just need to show the world. In a full match.
Okay.
Not like how the other Jokers did it. You know, they would wait until...
the last possible moment.
Yeah, the last possible moment.
Or the best possible moment.
Yeah, they would be vultures.
Right.
And cash it in after, you know, after a beatdown.
Thanks, Edge!
Right. But, you know, it's a cocky heel, but it's kind of like Shawn Michaels. I think if Shawn Michaels won the Money in the Bank briefcase, I think that's how he would do it.
Wait, are we talking about pre-Christian Shawn or Christian Shawn?
Yeah, pre-Christian Shawn. 90s Shawn.
90s Shawn, yeah. That Shawn.
Yeah. I think that would be a big boost to Seth Rollins' credibility as a heel.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I actually remember, because you brought it up, I remember what he told Cena when they were going to have their one-on-one match at Raw last week.
Right.
I'm going to beat you, and then I'm going to cash in on you.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I got inspired.
Right.
And this is something that Dolph Ziggler should do.
Or should have done when he held the briefcase.
Yeah, exactly. So I want Seth to do it now because he fits.
Yeah. He does fit. He does fit. Although, since we're going a little bit into fantasy booking, I bet he holds the briefcase until after WrestleMania. He holds on to it for that long.
Well, that's fine because Dolph did the same thing.
Yeah. I'm putting it out there. I think he holds on to it until after WrestleMania 31.
Okay. I just want that to happen. That I know I can beat you, so I'm gonna prove it.
Cool. Cool. Last match on the Battleground pay-per-view card. We haven't talked about this yet. Jack Swagger versus Rusev. We have a lot to say on this, but let's get the predictions out of the way. Rusev is winning this.
Rusev is winning this. No. Swagger is winning this.
All right, let's agree to disagree, but I think Rusev is winning this.
Swagger is winning this, and, well, I don't like it.
We don't like it.
I don't like it.
We at SGP have a bone to pick with the fact that Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter have been built up to be the Uber Patriots.
Right.
Who are, you know, defending Old Glory, defending USA against Rusev and Lana.
But Swagger and Zeb Coulter are still fucking racists, are still fucking xenophobes.
Well, they are. They kind of dialed down that a bit.
But they still are. They still
are. They have turned it down a little bit, but they're still backwards thinking as characters.
Right, exactly. And the problem I have with this is that Swagger and Zeb, as opposed to someone like Big E, Swagger and Zeb are people who hate foreigners.
And they've maintained that persona since they debuted as a team.
Yeah, as the Real Americans. Since the time they've been doing the We the People shtick.
Right.
And the problem here is that they've moved from hating the good foreigners to hating the bad foreigners. And that's why the faces in this feud.
Actually, they've also hated bad foreigners. Because for a while, they were hating on Cesaro, who never really turned good.
Well, but that wasn't their thing. They were hating more on Del Rio, who was the champion then.
Who was a good guy at the
time. Who was a good guy then.
Right. And they were also hating on Emma. They were hating on Santino, on Sheamus.
Good guys. All good guys.
Adam Rose.
And that's the thing. And then the biggest problem I have is that people are cheering this stuff.
Right. So the biggest question, I guess, from Roe and I right now is, if you're an American and if you're in the crowd, right, and if you raise your right hand, put your hand over your heart, and in a loud, clear voice, say along with Zeb, "We the people," what does that say about you?
You're hating a foreigner because he's a bad foreigner. But these guys have hated the good foreigners before. And I know I've been going over and over in this, but you compare it to someone like Big E, who defended America because he has patriotic feelings.
Right.
But, you know, Swagger and Zeb's patriotic feelings consist of hate for other cultures.
Here's the thing. Does it really matter where the place of patriotism comes from? Because, fine, let's put it out there that Big E's patriotism comes from his love of his country, whereas Swagger and Zeb, their patriotism comes from hate. Does it really matter when, at the end of the day, you all love your country?
No.
Doesn't matter.
No. I mean, no, that's not the thing. I don't care. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. It's like, doing good things or doing bad things in the name of good and vice versa.
Okay. So you're saying, right now, what you're saying is your intentions are ultimately more important than your actions.
Exactly. Unless, if it were the case, if that were the case, then we'd just be having a utilitarian thing.
Right.
Parang the ends justify the means.
Okay.
And that's not a good thing. That's not morally good.
That's not morally good because?
Because the ends should not justify the means. It's like, you know, it's like being, you know, Nazi, the Nazis.
See, the way, the only way now that I would actually accept Swagger and Zeb as convincing good guys is if they would have turned back on their word as xenophobes and they would have begun to be more tolerant.
Yeah, there's nothing talaga that suggests that they have made that kind of change. The thing with that is that in order to have a good transformation, a believable transformation, there had to be something, a really, really big major event that served as a catalyst for that transformation.
But so far, that big event has just been Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter challenging Lana and Rusev openly.
Yeah, and that was just, you know, them being annoyed at the Russians.
And here's the question. If you're an American, and if you're booing Rusev and Lana, are you booing them because they're bad? Or are you booing them because they're foreign?
Yeah, are you booing them because you don't understand what Rusev's saying?
I said those are two different things. Because you can boo Triple H for being an asshole, which on screen he totally is. But you can also just boo a guy because he's foreign, and that reeks of bigotry.
Right. And, well, when you cheer a guy who is, you know, railing against these foreigners because they're foreign and they're evil,
yeah,
you're pretty much booing the foreigners.
Right.
And that's again, as you said, that's bigotry.
And, you know, you as our listeners, you know, we love hearing from you. We love it, by the way, when you tweet us what you think. But we want to get your opinion on this because I was giving Ro this devil's advocate point of view on Facebook when, you know, one of you could actually tell us right to our face, pare ang dami niyong alam. You're taking this way too far and you're turning this into a meta argument that you two can barely understand.
What do you mean we can barely understand? But because we are advocating, you know, tolerance for other cultures, for other ethnicities. And the reason why we're doing this is because Stan and I, we're both from the University of the Philippines. And in UP, we are taught to go above and beyond what is just there and to go into what's deeper.
But beyond that, our mantra here in Smart Gilas Pilipinas, not just on the podcast, but even in our Facebook group, where we hold daily discussions on wrestling, is to educate.
Right.
We want to educate because wrestling, while it is a form of entertainment,
yeah,
it is also a reflection of pop culture.
Right. And I don't care if it caters to the lowest common denominator.
Or
that
the masses.
That does not mean that we have to stick to this and we have to settle for this. That does not, you know, take away the power that we have to raise it up, to raise the bar higher. Because we have that power as consumers of this piece of entertainment. What we dictate we like is reflective or gets reflected on the product.
Right, right. And while pop culture can be one of the lowest common denominators among common folk, it is still very much reflective of society in itself.
Yeah, and we're trying to change society. Because there are some things that are just outdated.
And we do that by educating, by informing you.
Right. And I know it's part of wrestling logic that, you know, characters flip-flop on their allegiances all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm just telling you that it's not believable. You know, Zeb and Swagger are not believable because they haven't had anything, they haven't had good writing behind them.
And they haven't stuck up for any foreigner, good or bad, to justify the fact that there's someone worth rooting for other than the fact that they're defending the USA.
And Zeb Coulter, for one, has not been changed. I mean, his character has not been changed from this, you know, traditional conservative old guy,
okay,
this old white American guy.
Yeah.
Parang, okay, maybe they've dialed down the xenophobia a bit, but, you know, Zeb's still fucking sexist.
That's right, because he did call out Lana and Rusev on a lot of things and made a lot of references to Rusev hiding behind Lana's skirt.
Yeah, I'm like, come
and
on.
And asking which one of them wears the pants or the skirt.
Come
in
on,
the
how is that? As I said before, being a face has to mean standing up for what society thinks is good in this day and age.
You know what? I think there is a good way of maintaining a particular character and being able to make that character flip-flop between face and heel without, you know, without compromising his values. Take a look at CM Punk.
Right, okay.
CM Punk as a character, he's always straight edge, whether he's a face or if he's a heel.
And even though he's dialed this down in the later years of his career,
you can still see that he's straight edge. It's very much consistent from the moment he debuted in Ring of Honor. As a good guy, he advocates the fact that he doesn't smoke, he doesn't drink, he doesn't do drugs, that he's just simply better than you.
Right.
And he proves that to you by wrestling very, very well in the ring.
Right. And
as
know,
a heel,
yeah, by doing that, yeah. Okay, go on.
Sorry. Let me just juxtapose this.
Right.
As a heel,
juxtapose.
As a heel, CM Punk asserts his ascendancy over you because he's much better than you, much better than the common American who takes drugs, who drinks, who smokes, like how he referenced like how he references other people who have fallen to these vices, like Jeff Hardy.
Right.
So I guess what we're trying to say is there is a way to actually make Zeb Coulter and Jack Swagger.
But I don't think you can do this for xenophobia and for, you know, sexism or something like that.
Okay, fine. No, I'll give you that. Parang ang hirap guy because these are such walang gray area when it comes to xenophobia and racism.
Right, because when Swagger and Coulter were heels, they would manifest their xenophobia by accusing any foreigner of being illegal, you know, being an illegal immigrant.
Foreigners walking across
right,
the border,
even though they're not, obviously.
Yeah, because the fact that they're being hired by a publicly traded company means they did the right paperwork.
Right, exactly. So, you know, that's the heelish part.
Uh-huh.
And now, again, I don't believe this shtick. I don't believe their bullshit. I don't believe that they're standing up. Well, they're standing up for their country, but they're being made faces by the fact that their opponents are heels. And that's not good storytelling.
I wish that there was a way for them to retcon Zeb Coulter and Jack Swagger. I mean, I don't know how they're going to do that. I think the onus is on creative, but there probably has to be a way that's believable to retcon Swagger and Coulter to make them believable faces right now.
I have an idea. That the only believable way for them to, you know, to be more tolerant of, you know, good foreigners.
Okay.
Is to have a good foreigner actually come and help them, even though they're heels.
Right, and have then, that good foreigner be a real American as well?
Not the one real American, but...
Because they tried that with Cesaro.
No. That's not what I meant. I meant, like, they have a time of need, but, you know, they get beat down in the ring by Rusev and Lana.
Okay.
And then a good foreigner comes in and, you know, we speak of foreigners as though they're actually foreigners, but sometimes, a lot of times they're not, like Kofi.
Yeah, Kofi's not a foreigner.
Yeah,
he's a kid from Boston.
Technically not a foreigner, but technically, I mean, he's, you know, Ghanaian, but...
Of Ghanaian descent, yeah, but he pretty much grew up from Boston.
Born and raised in Boston, I guess.
Yeah.
Or not born, but made in Boston.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, like, Rusev and Lana beat down Swagger and Coulter. You know, a good foreigner comes down and saves them.
Like I don't know, Sheamus or...
Yeah, Sheamus. Sheamus would be a good guy.
Or Diego. Hell, you know, just a baby-faced foreigner.
And that's how you can turn them face. By making them realize that not all foreigners are bad.
And then they have a change of heart and they actually acknowledge said change of heart because you really have to put these together. You have to connect the dots to make the story believable.
But this case, nope, that's not what we get.
It's not what we get because they fast-forwarded it and assumed that everybody would understand that as long as these guys are defending Old Glory, they're the good guys.
And the problem here is it worked.
It did work.
It worked. And that is really telling of American society. I know they did this in the South.
Richmond, Virginia,
and that's the South, and you know, and that's you're more likely to get over there doing that
because the South is a more conservative region in the United States. They're more Republican than Democrat.
Right. We're not slandering. We're just telling facts.
Right.
So you know, again, it's also too early to tell. They might not get the same reaction elsewhere.
But as early as now, you see the fervor with which these people chant, "We the people."
Yeah, and that's really frightening. To be honest with you, it's really scary,
and it's cause for concern. It's something that we on the other side of the world probably can just look back on and you know look at from a distance and probably say something about it. We can try to be as vocal about tolerance as possible, but at the end of the day, we are mere observers,
right.
And the best that we can do is to spread the word about tolerance and to educate you about it.
Right. So fuck this feud. Fuck Swagger and Coulter. Just fuck it. I hope Rusev wins. I really do. When you think about it, the things Lana was saying about America,
It's true.
When you think about it, you know, when you look past the fact that she's supposed to be the bad guy.
Yeah, given that she's a heel and she's supposed to be hypocritical.
Yeah.
What she's saying about America is true.
And it's nice how...
It's also true.
It's nice how in reality she's actually American as well.
But, oh, the irony.
Oh, the irony indeed.
If you didn't know this about America, it's so ironic because it's so true.
Yeah.
And we're from the outside looking in.
Right.
It's also true. We're not Reds. I'll be honest with you. We're not Reds.
We're not leftists.
But it's true.
And we're no Paul Tsai majors either.
Yeah, and we try to stay away from politics as much as possible.
But we can't avoid it in this particular case. This is one of those times when politics is really... when WWE has walked that very fine line between politics and entertainment. And they've crossed that border. And they've ventured into territory where, you know, it's inescapable for people like us to comment on this.
But yeah, I don't know if it's clever... I don't know if it's intentional on the creative team's part or whoever's writing Ilana's stuff.
Again, I don't think creative is that creative.
No, I don't know who's writing Ilana's stuff, but it's true. I don't know if it's really just them being clever. I'm getting A.
We want to know what you think because this is one of the more intense discussions we've had on SGP.
It's not a big deal to other people, but I'm trying to make it a big deal.
And
I want
to make
this a big deal. Yeah,
for good reason, because this is telling of society, of American society, which a lot of people mistakenly place as the paragon of modern society.
Really, I hope not. Anyway, but I mean, you know, Filipino society is terrible in its own right.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But you know, we do look up at American society, and that's why we're here to tell you that not everything about American society is perfect. Right?
So this is
us coming in and just telling you what's real. And again, we want to know what you think. You have to tweet us. This is probably one of our more intelligent and more relevant to society, and more socially relevant. Thank you. Jesus Christ. One of our more socially relevant discussions on the podcast since the Page commentary from several weeks ago.
If you agree with us, go on. All right. I mean, okay. Do support us. But if you don't agree with us,
tell us why.
I want you to argue with us. I just don't want you to tell us why. I want you to actually argue with us.
Because this will be fun.
I will go toe-to-toe with you.
And I want to see where you think. I want to see how you think in case you think differently. Because it will probably be telling as well of the times that we live in right now. We're on Twitter. It's @Stan947.
@RoeIsWar.
And we're also on Facebook. We're part of a group. It's called Smart Gilas Pilipinas, facebook.com/groups/SmartGilasPilipinas.
That's right.
We really, really want to know what you think. One of these days, we'll probably start that real thread in the group just so we can get this conversation rolling.
I actually did. Nobody's replying.
Since, you know, we've spent a good 15, 20 minutes talking about this Rusev Swagger feud, which is honestly very interesting. But we have to call this podcast, we have to end this podcast. So let's end it with our pick of the week, which is our weekly segment where we tell you about something that really caught our eye in wrestling through the last week.
You say you caught, you say it catches our eye. This week, it caught my ear.
It caught my ear too.
It caught my ear. My pick of the week is actually not from this week. It's from a couple of weeks back.
From July 9, 2014.
Right, but I found it this week, so it counts. Anyway.
This is our podcast. It's our rules.
Right, so Talk is Jericho, Chris Jericho's podcast. If you don't listen to it, you should.
It's a gem on the internet, by the way.
Right, and if there's one episode you have to start with, it's the July 9 episode with Christian on it.
It's a great interview.
Really,
I
really
love
great
stories.
Interview. Yeah, I'm a Christian fan. I'm a peep. I love Christian a lot, and I wish him more success. And I really like how the stories they tell, Christian's views on things. It's really relevant, especially how he recounts. When he first started training for wrestling, the trainer looked him over and said he was too small. And from then on, he had a chip on his shoulder. And I can relate to that.
Yeah.
I can relate to that.
Oh, yeah.
And I really think, and I admire Christian even more because of it. And he understands that he's very smart. He's a very smart worker when you watch him in the ring. And what he says on the podcast is reflective of that because he understands that he has to adapt his style because of his size. He could either be the smaller guy in the ring or he could be the bigger guy in the ring.
Just don't be alarmed when you notice that Christian doesn't talk the way he normally talks in the ring.
Yeah, because
he's very reserved in this one.
He mentions that he has a burned tongue, I think, or a cut tongue, because of he accidentally bit his tongue after taking a bump.
Right.
But either way, still good stuff. I want you to listen to it. Go to Jericho's podcast, subscribe, download. It's the only other wrestling podcast you should listen to.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just playing with you. I'm just playing with you.
Wow.
You should seriously get this podcast.
My pick of the week for this week, it's not exactly a match, not a segment, and not a podcast either. But you know that WWE has been very, very active on social media probably the last 2-3 years. And they've been, you know, for all of the talk about WWE being rather behind on pop culture, I like how timely they've been with Bo Dallas delivering inspirational messages to the World Cup losers.
The World Cup losers.
I love how, you know, he would make a Vine, which would last like 6 seconds, and address the team that just lost. Like most recently, the World Cup ended with Germany beating Argentina. Bo Dallas made a Vine addressing the Argentine national team, and it was nice. It was kind of funny because he was again telling them that all they needed to do was to bowly.
No, that's not how it goes.
Oh, sige. Ikaw nang may alam.
No. Go, you know what? No, you know what? For all the shit I give Bo, he really does his job well.
He does.
So all they had to do was believe.
I loved it. It was great. It's one of those times when they were actually timely with relevant events and current events.
I just wish he would have said, don't cry for me, Argentina.
Oh, that was too easy a joke. Because everybody else was doing that
meme.
I know.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. He would get more heel heat by going for the easy joke.
For the cliche. Yeah. Right? But yeah, exactly. That's my pick of the week because it is nice to see that he maintains his character when referencing current events.
Right.
And with that, we are closing this week's edition of the Smart Gilas Pilipinas podcast. Thank you very much for listening and for clicking play, for clicking download, for keeping us on the internet. Tell your friends and always, always try to hit us back whenever you hear something you either agree with or disagree with. We're on Twitter.
Right, we're on Twitter.
It's at Stan947.
At Rosewar.
And we are on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/SmartGilasPilipinas.
And you can listen to us online on our website, on our Buzzsprout site, the sgppodcast.buzzsprout.com. And you can download our podcast on iTunes in the iTunes store for you to listen to on your iPhone, iPad, whatever. And you can also download us on Android using your favorite podcast app.
Now, stay tuned for our next few episodes because it will get bigger. We have our very first interview on the Smart Gilas Pilipinas podcast coming sometime within the next few weeks.
Really, really big interview. So excited for this.
You better stay tuned to find out who we're interviewing and what this big interview will be all about. For now, though, we got to call it a night before Henry comes on over and blows our asses off, Mandaluyong. Thank you very much to Mellow 94.7 for always being generous with their
equipment.
Yeah,
stay safe. By the way, everyone, stay safe. For those who
don't try this.
No. Come on. No. Seriously. For those who got, you know, lost stuff after Glenda, we feel for you.
Yeah,
we feel for you. But Henry's coming along. We don't know how bad this might be. So stay safe, please.
And if we have any information with regard to how we can help out as well, yeah, SGP will help out.
Right.
So we do try to be relevant.
Yeah. So everyone, stay dry, stay warm, stay safe.
And with that, peace out, everybody.
Peace.